do a little bit of magic. And by the magic of magic stuff, we're magically on YouTube as well as richieallen.co.uk. Good morning. Are you well? Sunday morning it is, the 28th of July 2019. And wow, we've had buckets of rain over the last 24 hours after that incredibly warm week. Well, latter end of the week, of course, Thursday, record-breaking temperatures on Thursday. Let me just bring this over here. I know it's going to obscure me, but that's one of the radio mics, you see. I know. It looks all very weird, doesn't it? But there's a small software issue this morning, which I'll be able to deal with tomorrow. And it's the radio playout software. So it would have made it very difficult for me to use audio today, to play audio clips. So I thought to myself this morning, well, if I'm only going to be talking to you and maybe playing the odd tune, I might as well come onto YouTube. So one off, I won't be doing this every Sunday. I'll be back to radio audio only on Sunday mornings. But hope you're having a good weekend. I'm sporting my Ireland Rugby League shirt here for no good reason. Got a present of that from my mate Tez during the World Cup 2 years ago. Nice relaxing weekend myself. Spent the afternoon yesterday chilling out. Watched a dreadful film. The latest Godzilla film. My God. My God, it's diabolical. And then I was cheered up because I watched Kilkenny play Limerick in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling semi-final at Croke Park, Park and Croke, and Kilkenny blitzed Limerick, the reigning champions yesterday. So I watched a bit of hurling there. How did Gabriel Swift starts at 11? Must be some hangover. When were you born, Gabriel? Sunday View starts at 11 o'clock every Sunday. Wake up, son. Hi to Jason Hurley, to Wide Awake Radio, who says, what about the appointment of Priti Patel? Yeah, what about it? Hi to Philip Blair, who's very prematurely wished me a happy birthday. How you doing, Philip? My birthday is New Year's Eve, my friend. I don't know where you're getting that from. New Year's Eve, 1974. I came out kicking and screaming. I came out like a boss. At 5 to midnight, New Year's Eve, 1974. And I was so ugly, the doctor gave my mother a slap. I know, we're starting with the very old jokes very early. Hi to India Kane. How you doing, India? Who knows when my birthday is? Stalker. Stalker much? No, I think it's on the Twitter thing, is it? Might very well be. How you, Luke Griffin, to S Boxster, Jason Williamson, Steve O'Neill, to Liz, and lot of messages in already. Bass Ninja is on there with his own YouTube channel. Ah, the big fella with his own YouTube channel. Very good. Hi to Gail in Cornwall, to Sooty43, who's been reading about the increasing speed up of the magnetic North Pole towards Siberia. I haven't read anything about that, but I'll check it out later on. India says, Namaste. I better be quiet. I won't start with the insults. It is a Sunday. Hi to Harry Jacobs in Brisbane. How you doing, Harry Jacobs in Brisbane? Lovely stuff. Anne Gladman. How you doing, Anne, in Yorkshire? Pro rebel separatist John Kerr. Martin Evans. Who would you be voting for, Richie, if there was an election this week? Nobody. I don't vote in local or general elections. Of course not. For what? For what reason? What's it gonna mean to me who the MP is in Salford? But it wouldn't be Rebecca Long Bailey. Rebecca Long Bailey. Watch Rebecca Bailey. The biggest mouth in the world. She's only beating into a close second Andrew Gwynn. Another one. Rebecca Long Bailey. Hi to Monty Mole, to Graham Farmer, to Pan, who says, where's the radio show, you lazy bastard? I'm here, and I'm also on the radio. At the same time, it's amazing, isn't it? No need to apologise. Hi to Wendy Bell, to Patrick Vidian, Anthony Melville, how you doing, Anthony? And Dawn B, how you doing, Dawn? Curly Perm, Joe Public in Edinburgh. Morning, Joe. Where's the weather update, Joe? It's not good enough. Not having it. Yeah. Rebecca Long Bailey! Interviewers are terrified of Bailey because they can't get a word in edgeways with her. Did I mention Mark? Return O is listening in Argentina. Good morning, mate. In Argentina, buenos dias. Fred Luce. Morning, Richie, a big baldy gammon. That's it. Remember. I'm not a baldy gammon. Now I'm a superstar DJ. Big baldy gammon. That's how it works. That's the disguise. Right. Massive thanks to Jen in California. Morning, Jen. You're up late. Hey, eh? Thanks for the super chat donation. Jen is up really late there because it's 9 hours back. So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, Jen. You party animal. Big respect to you too, Jen, and yours. Thanks for that lovely thought. I really appreciate that. Susan Hayward Tonkin, my old pal. How you doing, Susan? In Port Macquarie and Bex Hill and all the rest of it. Right. Right, there you are. I'm aware of the fact that I'm not as close to the radio mic as I should be. Because I'm looking this way and that way. Do you want to have a look at the front pages of the Sunday newspapers then? Sure, you might as well. That's why we came here, right? Right? Tis great, that, isn't it? You have to laugh, don't you? Christ. There you have it. No coincidences. No coincidences. Okay. Let me bring up the newspapers. The newspapers. So they're on recess, or they're in recess. They're on their holidays. But it's not going to be dull in terms of the media coverage of events, particularly around Brexit, despite the fact that they've left for their recess. Usually for producers and editors in news stations. Excuse me, I'm drinking orange juice. Usually it's a difficult time. I remember dreading it when I was producing radio and the onus was on me to source material for a 2-hour radio show 5 days a week in July, late July, early August. I couldn't wait to go on my holidays. But now it's good fun to watch all of this. Even though you know it's all a charade and you know it's all a nonsense, it is good fun for me still. I get a great kick out of it, watching how people react to the stories. Let's go with Murdoch's Times. Boris vows no deal Brexit by any means necessary. I wouldn't believe it, to be honest with you. For good reason. Boris vows no deal Brexit by any means necessary. That story, of course, in the Times, there's the story. And it basically said that they're working on the assumption that the European Union will not agree to make any significant changes to the withdrawal agreement. And they're working on the assumption that the European Union won't agree to remove the permanency of the backstop arrangement. Okay? You know what the backstop is now? Do I have to keep repeating myself? Because a lot of people do say, Richie, we don't understand it. But I've repeated it 1,000 times. The backstop was a little bit of malevolent genius, really, by Remainers in Ireland and Remainers here. They suggested that in the event that the UK left hard with no deal, that there would have to be a border, then a customs border reintroduced on between Ireland and the UK around the six counties, right? And that this would be devastating, it would be problematic, it would threaten the Good Friday Agreement. So they said that a temporary solution would be that in the event there was a hard Brexit, that basically the UK would stay in some sort of, well, Northern Ireland would remain in a customs union, effectively, with the European Union. And the problem with it is, of course, is that initially it was, well, this will be a temporary thing. But as it became apparent, the legalese and the fine print in the arrangement, that it would be a permanent arrangement. Ultimately. So it is basically keeping the United Kingdom in the European Union via the back door, based on this nonsense that if there was a customs border again in Ireland, that this would have far-reaching consequences, not just for trade, but also for peace in Northern Ireland. So they introduced the backstop. Okay? And that's what it is, in my ham-fisted way of telling you. So the Times is alleging that Johnson, Michael Gove, and others are ready for a no-deal situation, that they're working on the on the basis of the fact that there will be no reopening of the withdrawal agreement, therefore they will have to leave on October 31st with no deal. Don't believe it. Don't buy into it, because it ain't true. Let me put my glasses on. Yeah. Right. Sunday Telegraph. Sajid Javid's Brexit blitz to prepare for no deal. So he's the Chancellor in this diverse cabinet that Johnson appointed last week. And again, the Sunday papers are full of these stories. They're full of speculation about what's going to be done and what isn't going to be done and what is being done. Unnamed sources. So you've got to take a lot of this with a pinch of salt as well. There was a government minister on Sophie Ridge on Sunday this morning on Sky News. They're all recent in Johnson's cabinet. But the guy's name escapes me. I think he's of Indian descent. And he agreed with Ridge that there's only a one in a million chance that the UK will leave with no deal. There's not going to be any leaving with no deal. And ultimately, there won't be any leaving, full stop. That's how it's going to work. Can't be allowed. Can't be allowed to happen. Sunday Observer. Ex-Chancellor plots with Labour to kill Johnson's no-deal Brexit. Number of stories today alleging that Philip Hammond, the outgoing Chancellor of the Exchequer, is talking not only to Labour Party MPs, but also Liberal Democrat people. They have a new leader as well, Joe Swinson, in a bid to, again, stop or prevent Johnson and his government leaving, walking away, brushing their hands of it and saying we're gone with no deal. A lot of talk about this. You'll also have observed, if you do read the papers and if you do pay attention to the news programmes, you will have noted in the last few days in particular that there's been another raft of scare stories about how we're all doomed if we leave with no deal. Various captains of industry, car manufacturers saying that if we go with no deal, we're screwed. There's no point in me repeating what I think about it because I think you know. So there's been a couple of opinion polls since Johnson assumed his role as the leader of the Tories and as the Prime Minister. And a number of those opinion polls suggest that he's opened up a bit of a significant lead over Jeremy Corbyn. It's possible. The Sunday Express runs with this story that the public are tired now of Brexit, which I'm sure they are, and that nearly three quarters of them now want to just be done with it once and for all, whatever the outcome. Which, Brexit fatigue, you could say, yeah. There's a bit of that. That's the Sunday Express. So the Mail on Sunday, Boris gets his bounce. That's the opinion poll. Most think there will be an election this year. MP's sex charge could wipe out majority. I haven't looked at that in the Mail, but I will look at it while I'm here now because I can do that, you see, through the magic of Tinternet. What's the sex charge? I've been spending a bit of time on the news late yesterday evening and today, but not coming across anything about a sex charge. Anyway. Okay, right, we'll just leave it there. Right, bit of smut then maybe in the Mail on Sunday today. Get rid of that. Move on to the Star on Sunday. My 4-day strippers and dwarf spender. Marvellous. That's a tabloid story for you right there. This is Sean Ryder, of course, of the legendary Happy Mondays. And hi, Bez, if you're watching, by the way. I know Bez likes a bit of this. Strippers and Dwarfs. Fantastic. Sean Ryder. Rock and roll, eh? Rock and roll is not what it used to be. And in the Independent, Lib Dems push to oust Johnson's top advisor. So again, these are speculative stories about the infighting still going on in the party about the handling of Brexit. Cabinet Secretary told to block architect of Vote Leave campaign and so on, right? Okay. Not a lot going on the Sunday programmes. Jeremy Corbyn gave an interview to Sophie Ridge on Sunday this morning. It was It was dreadful. I mentioned the other day, there were a few giggles about, look, all of this is a nonsense. Politics is a nonsense. It's pure theatre. It's a mind control operation that's been running now for several centuries to convince people that your destiny is in your own hands, that you get to decide which course the country takes every time you go to the ballot box. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. This is why I've maintained a consistent line for years and years and years now, that every one of them, every single one of them, is as useless as the one that went before them, him included. But his interview with Ridge this morning was interesting, because on the one hand you have Johnson, a complete clown, right? We know this, complete buffoon. But you've got him in Manchester yesterday. I think he was at the science. Was he at the one of the museums? Was he yesterday afternoon? He gave a speech, a keynote speech at a museum. It wasn't science and technology, science and industry. Where was he? It wasn't the military. We've got a big military museum up here, the War Museum. He might have been at the War Museum, actually. And the difference in Boris Johnson's approach and Corbyn's. Corbyn sat across from Sophie Ridge whenever they recorded the interview, which was probably yesterday, maybe Friday, and he looked like he needed life support. Sitting there, mumbling, barely audible, barely understandable what he was saying, just mumbling away. And Johnson, as bad and all as he is, you know, full of the fist pumping, full of energy, full of, you know, silly gags and stuff like that, chalk and cheese, really. You wonder what's really going on. You know, what have those who really make the decisions, what have they decided? Have they decided that Johnson is going to have the next 3, 4, 5 years as Prime Minister, regardless of the Brexit outcome? Or are they going to give us Corbyn and a rainbow coalition? It's that much is interesting to me, and the reasoning and the thinking behind it. Because ultimately it doesn't matter who they put in. I'd love to know how they make these decisions. You know, putting Corbyn in, well, that would be the end of Brexit. But you don't need to put Corbyn in to end Brexit anyway, because Boris Johnson is not the committed Brexiteer that he would have you believe. Johnson, historically, he's been pro-European Union. This guy, Corbyn, ironically, historically, has taken the view that the European Union is anti-democratic and is detrimental to workers' rights, ironically. Very interesting how this is all going to pan out. Corbyn was asked about anti-Semitism, and amazingly, Sophie Ridge did ask him, what did he think of the Panorama programme? She gave him an open goal to talk about how some of the alleged Labour Party members who were complaining about their treatment, in fact, have worked for the Israeli embassy and were, in fact, exposed by Al Jazeera's documentary, The Lobby, when they exposed Labour's Joan Ryan. And he sat there, Jeremy Corbyn, when presented with an open goal by Sophie Ridge, and just went, well, it was distressing to see Labour members talking about how hurt they were. But he also went on, I think he went on briefly to say that the programme wasn't very well put together and it wasn't fair. But he didn't take the open goal that Ridge had given him, where he could have said, listen, it was a put-up job. Corbyn is dreadful. He really is dreadful. I have nothing good to say about the man at all. It's dreadful stuff. It's amazing when he was elected leader of the Labour Party, the abuse that I took when I pointed out the day he was elected exactly what was going to happen with him. And it's basically developed and it's kind of rolled out exactly the way I predicted it would with Jeremy Corbyn. You know? Dreadful. Hi to Yupkek Kresimir. How you doing, Yupkek? You're chatting in a foreign language there. So I don't know what you're saying. Just Some Guy says, follow the bookies. All bookies have no Brexit as their favourite. Bookies never lose money. Well, they don't, no. They lose occasionally, but overall, they don't lose. Hi to Sutty's Rehab. Hi to Sean Mack. Yeah. Yeah, that's what the That's what the backstop agreement was. Keep the whole of the UK in a temporary customs arrangement with the European Union to protect the Good Friday Agreement, but that it would be temporary and it would only be there unless it would only be there in the event that they couldn't come to any arrangement. But it was Brexit in name only, wasn't it? Hi to Colin Maguire in Dublin. How you doing, Colin? Let me scroll on down there. Hi to Jack Woolley. How you doing, Jack? Dean Smith. More flip-flops than a Costa del Sol beach, Jeremy Corbyn. Hi to Stuart Batty. Yes. Nick Farrell. Good morning. And if you're listening on richieallen.co.uk, fabradio2 or triggerwarning.tv, a very good morning to you as well. A very, very good morning to you. Hi to Andy Newman. I'm on Twitter now. Hi to Liz Jones. Hi to David Stanford. How you doing, Gavin Thomas? Gavin is listening in Waterford. And he's part of the Stop 5G Waterford gang. How you doing, Gavin? Thanks for tweeting us this morning. Hi to Connington on Twitter as well, who's listening in Tasmania. Hi to Roger the Dodger. That's not my Roger. Liz Jones is listening in. Happy rainy Sunday, Richie. It's miserable today. Hi to Foz. How you doing, Foz? To Gleason's and to Jackie, who's listening in New South Wales and in Perth. In fact, it's a little chilly there, says Jackie, who's been in Bali for a while, if I remember. How you doing? Right, let's move on. It must be a bit weird listening this morning because I normally have a lot of content for you, packed with audio and stuff. But today it's just me and my images. I am on YouTube. It's youtube.com/Richie Allen Show. youtube.com/Richie Allen Show. Now. Let's look inside the papers. This is Daniel Janner QC. And I wrote an article about Daniel Janner QC on my website last year, where I tried to be as fair-minded and as professional as I could be. Daniel Janner QC has been screaming from the rooftops for about 3 years that his father, the former Labour MP, Greville Janner, was an angel. He was a saint. And that he is not guilty of any of the accusations that have been made against him. Daniel Janner QC. This is Simon Heffer writing in the Telegraph today, the Sunday Telegraph. I tweeted Daniel Janner on Friday and then I regretted it for a few minutes and then I looked at the tweet and I didn't regret it. Because I believe that Daniel Janner knows damn well who his father was. He was a filthy, disgusting, rotten child abuser, Greville Janner. We know he was. But this guy is screaming about Carl Beach. Now you'll know by now that Carl Beach, known as Nick, has been sentenced to 18 years in prison for making false statements to the police about a number of very high profile politicians, including Edward Heath, including Harvey Proctor, including Greville Janner. And I'll save you and me some time by not really repeating everything I've already said about it. I don't think that Nick, who's he's been convicted of downloading child abuse images, convicted about 7 or 8 years ago. I don't believe that Nick is the fraud or the fake that he has been made out to be. I believe he's been used. And I do believe he has accused innocent men. I definitely believe that, and I can understand why something like that would happen. I remember when the Coronation Street guys, that's a soap opera, by the way, for people who don't know. It's a very successful television show. It's one of the oldest in the world. So when these guys were being accused, it did occur to me, and I did speak about it, that if I wanted to cover up paedophilia, but if I wanted to cover up institutional paedophilia, among very, very wealthy people, connected people, one of the things I would do is level accusations against innocent people and make it a bit of a kind of a hysteria fest. Because we had a hysteria fest for a while. Paul Gambaccini and others accused. Cliff Richard and others accused. You wonder. So this guy has maintained, I know you can read a bit of it there. It's in the Telegraph today. Let me just bring in a bit more. So he says, this is a quote from Daniel Janner, QC. The police will run this inquiry and make him out to be a monster when they know perfectly well, if they bother to look at the full material that led to the collapse of the civil case against him, that he wasn't. Why does he think the police have vilified his late father in this way? He says the lies are so patently false and ludicrous, there is an inference raised that the police acted with an improper motive. There has to be an investigation as to whether that amounts to the offence of misfeasance in a public office. So they're going after the police. Now Alexis J is heading up the independent inquiry into child sex abuse. She must be watching the comments of Daniel Janner with great interest, because there is a strand of the inquiry that's going to deal with allegations against Greville Janner. And here we have again, like when Mike Veal from Wiltshire Police was conducting his own inquiry into Edward Heath. Here we have again the media attacking an ongoing and open inquiry from all angles. Now Daniel Janner, as the son of this monster, I understand why he's doing what he is doing. But the newspapers have a responsibility not to print it. Not to print it now, while Alexis J's inquiry is still open, and while it has yet to deal with the allegations made against Greville Janner, which are more than credible, by the way. So this guy has a go at Tom Watson, the deputy leader of the Labour Party. Watson is vile, you know. Watson used Nick Carl Beach for his own political end. We know this. Watson is an absolute disgrace as a human being. Okay, nothing but a climber, full stop, doesn't give a damn. And I can understand Janner having a go at him. This is a really important story, this. So anyway, the article goes on. Greville Janner, my dad, innocent. Theresa May shouldn't have done this. The inquiry shouldn't have opened. It's all a nonsense. It's hysteria, and it's a big fake thing. None of it is happening. Here's Greville Janner. There's no suggestion, by the way, that Greville Janner abused any of the boys in this picture. Or the next picture. He's very fond of children, Janner. Here he is there. Greville Janner. I want to tell you a little bit about Greville Janner now. There he is. Okay? Greville Janner. One of the things that's really annoying about Daniel Janner QC is that he's alleging that the motive behind the allegations against his father, he reckons it's anti-Semitism because Janner was Jewish. So he's saying it's anti-Semitic in nature, the things that have been said about my father. Okay, I'm going to tell you about his father now, who he is. I'll tell you all about him. I'll tell you all about Greville Janner. I wrote an article about this last year. And when I wrote it, I was approached by two different journalists. One working for the Mail and one working for the Star. The one who contacted me from the Mail said, "Everything you put in your article is true, Richie, but we can't go with it." And I said, "Well, you can go with it, because Janner is dead. He's not going to sue you for libel. You can't libel the dead. Simple as that." This guy, Greville Janner, was abusing boys in homes for decades, going back to the 1950s. And to make matters worse, it was an open secret at Westminster. An open secret. I've spoken privately with former MPs, and I really have, who refused to go on the record, even though Janner is dead. These are former MPs now that would have been on the left, right? That I've known for years. And they said it was an open secret, even when he was in the House of Lords, that Greville Janner was a filthy, disgusting, rotten pederast. It was an open secret. Think back to Tim Fortescue. We're not talking about three or four or five or six. Dozens of men and women in the Leicestershire area have said, and they haven't just said it, they've provided evidence to the police that he abused them. In fact, he would go to homes, take young boys out of the boarding, out of the homes, out of the orphanages, the homes, and he would stay in hotels with them. He would stay in hotels with them and rape them. Greville Janner. And his son wants you to believe it's all about anti-Semitism. We now know, and Alexis J will know, that when the police were told in the early 1990s, Janner was taking boys to hotels, they neglected to even check the hotels and look at the logs on the dates that the children said they'd been taken to those hotels. Now, you think back to my interview with Maggie Oliver the other night and about Rochdale grooming gangs, predominantly Pakistani young Muslim men, and what she said about what drove her to blow the whistle on her own police force when her own police force, GMP, was given all of that evidence in a box with a ribbon on it about those grooming gangs, and they did nothing. They looked the other way. Leicestershire police were told by teenagers this guy had been abusing them and he'd been taking them to hotels they couldn't be bothered. Not only did they not check with the hotels, they didn't check with the care home either. Imagine that. Imagine not going to the care home. This guy, Mr. Janner, he's been abusing me. He's been taking me places. Has he? He has. He took me to a certain hotel. I can give you the name of it. Okay, well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in. Right? Who's worse? The filthy pederast? Or the chief superintendent who buries the thing? Who's worse? If you forced me to, if you forced me to take a whip and bullwhip either Janner or the police superintendent, if you put a gun to me head, 'tis the police superintendent I'd fucking whip to be Jesus. Imagine it. Greville Janner. Dozens and dozens of complaints. Dozens of complaints. Dozens of complaints. Police officers saying that we can't understand why this wasn't taken to trial. We can't understand. Back in 2014, the CPS, that's the Crown Prosecution Service, looked at everything and said that there was more than enough evidence to charge Janner with 22 counts of child abuse. You'll remember this, of course. The Richie Allen radio show, this radio show, was relatively new. 22 counts of child abuse, definitely. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Greville Janner was diagnosed with dementia. So he wasn't compos mentis, they said. He wasn't capable of understanding the charges against him. He didn't have the ability to understand what he was facing and couldn't plead. So they then decided to have a trial of the facts. Yeah. Janner was deemed unfit to testify. Didn't have testamentary capacity. Right? That he was a bit of a vegetable, we were told. Months after it was ruled that he couldn't stand trial. Months after. The bastard was driving himself to the House of Lords. Driving himself to the House of Lords. where he collected £300 a day, and where he was surrounded by people who knew that he was a filthy abuser of children, who didn't care, because some of them are or were involved in the same activities, I would argue. By the way, when they said there would be a trial of the facts in December of 2015, he died 2 weeks later. Now, I've always been one to pour cold water on stupid conspiracy theories, you know, hoaxes and stuff. Whenever there's a shooting somewhere, there's a truth or industrial complex member rushes to the internet to declare it to be completely fake and a hoax. Drives me mad. But Janner's sudden onset of severe dementia, and then thinking that his dementia had gotten him off the hook effectively. Okay, I don't have to plead now because I have late stage dementia. So I can stop the act, I can stop pretending I'm demented, and I can now return to the House of Lords to collect £300 a day. And he was getting along fine, except for in December 2015, they said, okay, so you can't plead, therefore we'll have a trial of the facts. And then he died. Right? So when people say to me, old Greville Janner maybe didn't die, I would ordinarily smack that out of the ballpark, right? Babe Ruth that right over the wall and say, no, you're a moron. Now, don't know. Very powerful Jewish lobby. The Board of Deputies of British Jews, remember? Very powerful in this country. Janner was a member. In fact, he was a one-time chairman of it. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying here. It's got nothing to do with Jews. It's got nothing to do with Jews, or it's a Jewish thing. I'm saying that his group, his people, the people that he surrounded himself with, were very, very powerful and influential. So could Janner be living somewhere in exile? It's possible. I would say it's possible. But I couldn't prove it, could I? I could say it's possible but unlikely. That's fair, isn't it? There's Greville Janner. And his son is interfering, materially interfering, with an ongoing inquiry. So is the Sunday Telegraph, by printing all this stuff while Alexis J is about to begin interviewing the dozens of people who were abused by that scumbag there, Greville Janner. It's all over the papers today. It's all over the papers today. Look at this. The intelligence agencies are astonished that the police fell for the lies of VIP abuse accuser. This is Carl Beach. The intelligence agencies are shocked that the police fell for the lies of Carl Beach. Well, do you know what, intelligence agencies? We're still shocked that you allowed Jimmy Savile get so close to the royal family, even though he was abusing possibly thousands of people over a period of decades. I mean, the intelligence agencies coming out and saying that they're shocked that the police fell for the lies is ironic. It's shocking in its own way, because the intelligence agencies and services were the ones who protected these people. It was the intelligence services that threw children off of Edward Heath's yacht, The Morning Cloud, off of Jersey. This is true. You know, it sounds like, ironically, you look at him in the picture. We know that Edward Heath abused boys on The Morning Cloud, and we know that some of those boys never made it back to those homes. And the very murderers, not the very same murderers, but, you know, spooks working for those same agencies today are saying, we can't believe the police fell for Carl Beach. The police didn't fall for him. Beach presented them with a lot of very good evidence and a lot of bollocks. And it is the bollocks that the media is focusing on now. And it's full scale now, today in the papers today. See, here's somebody else that Carl Beach accused. Lord Bramall, Field Marshal Lord Bramall, who never abused anybody. I don't know the man, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. But his name is thrown in there, right? And it's these allegations that were baseless that are being used to try and bring down the independent inquiry into child sex abuse. ICSA. Bring it all down. Undermine it while Alexis J is doing it. That's perverting the course of justice, isn't it? I don't blame Bramall for being absolutely pissed off. That's what's going on, folks. Greville Janner. And they're playing the anti-Semitism card. They're playing the he was Jewish card. It's got nothing to do with his identity. It has all to do with the fact that allegations were made year in, year out by credible witnesses. Dozens and dozens of them. The police themselves acknowledged that it is wrong that on at least three occasions he was bang to rights and they didn't charge the man. And the police doesn't make the decision to charge. The police arrest, they gather evidence, they pass that on to the Director of Public Prosecutions, who then decides whether to proceed with the case or not. We know that there was more than enough evidence to secure convictions against Janner. It's amazing to me, this. The people can't see what's going on, you know. Let me read a few more comments. And we'll go back to the papers then. Hi to Craig Storer. Craig, how are you? Thanks so much for the super chat donation, Craig. Lovely to hear from you this morning. Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate that. A number of you are opining on the whereabouts of Greville Janner. I mean, look, we've got to be mature about this. You know, he's probably dead, Janner. Right? But whereas I have been a bit hard on the hoax mongers in the past, claiming things were hoaxes, on this occasion, I'm open-minded. You know, they said they were going to charge him with abusing 22 children. He got dementia all of a sudden. That was fine for a while. He couldn't plead, but he could go back to the House of Lords. Somebody decided then, we really want to get this guy, so let's have a trial of the facts. And then he died. In fact, he died 2 weeks, almost to the day, after they said, well, we can't get you in court to plead, but we can have a trial of the facts. We can make a conclusion based on the evidence we have. It doesn't have any basis in terms of, it wouldn't have meant that Janner would have went to prison at all. But, right? Hi to Damien Campbell. How you doing, Damien? Yeah. To Martin Ellen. Empty Vessel. Loads and loads of super chat comments even coming in there. And if you're listening on, if you're listening on the line, if you're listening on richieallen.co.uk, Fab at Radio 2 in Manchester, or triggerwarning.tv, a very good morning to you. I am on YouTube doing this, so you can see it on YouTube. Yeah, what else is there? What about this? This made me laugh. Nothing story again. Elijah Cummings represents Maryland. And this is big. They love this, you see, journalists. It's not news, this. It's a non-story. But this is how people are being conditioned. This is how people are being conditioned to re-engage. We are now appealing to people on an emotional level to re-engage with politics, on a level emotionally that we never used to do. We're now appealing to people's sense of identity. You might say, well, they've always done that. Well, not to the scale they do it now. They are getting massive sections of populations around the world to re-engage with politics, locally and nationally. And they're getting them through identity, not just race, but through identity. So these are the stories that go viral. Donald Trump has been making comments about Maryland, saying that it's rat infested and stuff like that. Elijah Cummings represents it there. He's a congressman. They were arguing about migrant detention centres on Twitter. And Elijah Cummings was making a very good point about the conditions of migrant detention centres, which are apparently pretty miserable. And migrants haven't broken the law, regardless of what you might think about them. Even if you know, as I know, what the plan is with weaponised migration, we do know, we're not stupid, but we're still dealing with human beings here. And the conditions are horrendous in some places, not in every place. So Elijah went and had a pop at it, and Trump came out with the comment about Baltimore being worse. He called it a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, it's racist. It's racist. This is racism. You got people on Twitter then. Not just 10,000 people. Not just 50,000 people. You have millions of people then taking to Twitter to express their outrage or to express their support for Trump. Re-engaging people. It's getting in there now. People have never been more interested in politics than now. And you know, this is a real bugbear with me. I talk a lot about this because I'm very interested in it, in how people have been kind of brought back in when so many had moved away, kind of post September the 11th and all the rest of it. So it's very interesting. And Twitter is an amazing tool of the elite to re-engage people at the level of their identity. Draw them in through their identity. Get them to think they're part of a big battle between good and evil. And their identity is good. Whatever that identity happens to be. It could be liberal. It could be social democrat. Might even be socialist, although there are no socialists in politics. It could be conservative. It could be far right. Could be alt-right. Get everybody thinking. Program everybody to think that there is some almost Armageddon-like apocalyptic battle going on against their identity. Whatever your identity is, like I said, could be a rugby league fan of Ireland. That's my identity. Rugby league fans. But seriously, right? White guys. White middle-aged guys. We are being conditioned, white middle-aged guys, to think that it is open season on us. White middle-aged men. In a way that nobody else is being targeted for their lifestyle choices and for their opinions. Now, the reason we think that is, well, we've got some good reasons to think like that. Because we see certain stories in the news that are carefully placed and we buy into it. We see genuine discrimination against white middle-aged guys, right? But I would argue no more than there is discrimination against anybody else. It's very seductive, this. It's very, very, very clever. Everybody thinks that they are under the jackboot and that they're getting it in ways that other people are not getting it. And that's how they re-engage. You see, Stuart Waiton, PhD, told me on the Richie Allen radio show, vulnerable groups, brilliant stuff. And he said, right now in the UK, it's like you can't have an opinion about anything, whether it's Pakistani men or women or men and women from other cultures. You've got to tiptoe on eggshells. You can't say anything. But if it's white Christians, you can say whatever the bloody hell you want. And like I said, there's always an element of truth in that, because every identity group must feel like they're in some sort of end of times battle. For their survival. For the survival of me and people who look and think and speak like me. This is how the elite has been absolute. It's genius stuff, this. It's genius. And it's fueled the alternative right media. It's amazing. People flock there. Listen, you know who they are, these presenters. None of them see the bigger picture. That ultimately the jackboot spares nobody. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you look like. But if I can make white people think that they're being targeted and that their rights are being trampled all over, and they are, by the way. But if I can get white people to think that it's not happening to other groups, minorities or migrants, well, that's brilliant then. That's brilliant. We've gotten white people hook, line and sinker. Do you understand this? Because I know some of you will be triggered. I know some of you will be only hearing what you want to hear. And you'll think that I'm saying that white people are not targeted. I'm not saying that at all. Far from it. Not saying it at all. I'm saying the system is so sophisticated. It works on each individual identity group the exact same way, but slightly differently. The exact same way, but slightly differently. Nearly the same way, but slightly differently. What do we do then? We divide. It's like getting some food and a cleaver and a chopping knife, chopping it up. And we splinter off, we divide, we divide, we divide, we mutate, we divide. And those running things, fantastic, brilliant. Look at them, they'll never come together. They hate one another. They have assigned themselves to a cultural or a sociological identity group. And they're in the fight now. Look at them on Twitter. They're in the fight. Brilliant. And we all fall for it. Bastard Muslims. Leaving 1 million migrants into Germany. All that raping going on in Germany and all that raping going on in Sweden. All them migrants. They were doing fine and dandy, thank you, in Yemen, in Libya, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and in Syria, minding their own business, until our countries decided, again for reasons most people don't understand, to raise those countries to the ground, to flatten them, to murder millions of people and displace millions more. That's how, you know. But how sophisticated this programming is that people can't see that. They just see the migrant. I'm a Christian. This is a Christian country. And I can't say anything without being banned. And then migrants can do whatever they want. It's wonderful programming. The migrants can't do whatever they want. They've been driven from their countries. Running. Footsteps and screams and bombs and explosions in the middle of the night. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. Isn't it sophisticated? How it works. Just get people hating the other. And the evolution of vulnerable groups as an idea is genius. It's genius. You get stuff like this then. This is on RT.com. Sick. Black rag dolls made to slam into walls, pulled from shelves over racism complaints. Somebody invented a doll that children who've got a bit of a tantrum going on can throw around, kick around and throw against the wall. And it's not a new concept. You know, it's not a new concept. Anybody who's ever had a punching bag to smack and to kick and to headbutt. If you're annoyed or wound up or stressed, it's a marvellous reliever of stress. Just give it a few slaps and a few kicks. Within 30 seconds, most people are out of breath. They can't manage anymore. And all of that anger is gone. So the Feel Better doll is a black smiling rag doll with multicoloured hair styled like dreadlocks. And bears instructions to slam whenever things don't go well and you want to hit the wall and yell. This is the sort of story, you see. Rather than ignore it, you get Courtney Washington, I don't know who Courtney Washington is, screaming about the doll being black and about how this is racist and this is terrible and this is dreadfully offensive and this is hurtful. I don't know how it could be hurtful to any intelligent black man or woman alive. How you could say that's hurtful and it's offensive and it has to be banned and I better go on Twitter and talk about it. This is how it works. I see a black doll that says hit me, beat me. So if you're making a toy now, is black an option that's off the table, is it? Should nobody use black paint in future, lest people add two and two together and make seven, and say this was a racist initiative, a racist endeavour. Because I can't think for a minute that the people who made the doll did it to subtly make a statement about race in America. Maybe they made it black so that you're throwing it around. It doesn't take on stains and dirt as easily as if it was white or yellow or red, maybe. This is the sort of thing, you see. Twitter storms. So the people who've made the doll have lost their shirts. All had to be recalled. Tens of thousands of dollars of manufacturing just pissed down the drain hole because somebody got offended by it. Identity politics. Me, 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 me. And eventually, it dilutes itself to the point where you won't even be a black woman in a black community. You'll just be you. That's where it goes, ultimately. And that's where the system wants it to go. There won't be you and anybody else. It'll be you. It'll be you. 24/7 on this. With a chip in there. You. Then you'll be your own identity group with a membership of one. You'll be unique and important. But as far as you'll be concerned, you'll be the most vulnerable, the most in need of protection. Crazy. Crazy. This is in the Huffington Post. Got about 5 minutes left this morning. YouTube's plan to rein in conspiracy theories is failing. That's because they didn't want to rein in conspiracy theories. Let me explain. We were led to believe 2 years ago when YouTube started deleting channels and demonetizing others that there was a wholesale, full-scale attack on alternative media. And that wasn't true. What was going on was the genuinely independent and the really alternative media, which is tiny. You can count on, I think, your fingers and toes the amount of genuinely alternative, because most of them advocate for a political philosophy, therefore a political party. You know this. You see, this article would include the absolutely rubbish canary and that Kerri-Anne Mendoza person who I laughed off the radio show 3.5 years ago when she came on. Never heard of chemtrails. She thought chemtrails were funny. Moron. This is the point I'm making. The canary is considered to be alternative media and conspiracy theory media. But it isn't. So what you're seeing is, and the Huffington Post has done a good article, even if they've got, fundamentally, even if they've misunderstood it. And I've been claiming this for 2 years. YouTube is promoting what it calls conspiracy media or its own version of the alternative media. So what many of these alternative stroke right channels that shill for Trump and QAnon and all that, they're thriving. Their channels are growing at a rate of knots. And they're monetized. Right? Muggins here, who talks about political parties and democracy from the point of view of where it came from, who invented it, and that it's all a sham, irrespective of which candidate comes along. My channel with nearly 100,000 subscribers was deleted. And now they shadow ban the Richie Allen YouTube channel. They've admitted it. If you read this article on huffpost.co.uk, they've admitted, YouTube, that they've been successful in cutting by half the views that many conspiracy theory channels would have gotten in the past. With me, they've cut it by 3/4. I would have expected to get 40, 50,000 views per YouTube video. And I was getting it before the channel was deleted. Now, a couple of thousand. And that's just loyal listeners who know where to go to find it. But they're not shutting down or minimising the reach of the alt-right and the far left. They're not. Yeah, one or two channels will get deleted here and there, but by and large, these channels are thriving because they want to define what the alternative media is. See, be very careful about this. This is a wonderful bit of, again, wonderful bit of elite sabotage, right? They want to define the alternative media. They want to tell you what it is and who it is. And the likes of Muggins here and one or two others will never show up on that list. It'll be alternative right stuff, far left stuff. It's where they want you. They don't care where you are as long as you're on that spectrum somewhere because you're engaging with the system. You're glued to it. And that's, you know, it's incredible to me. That's YouTube in the Huffington Post today. A lot of climate change stuff today as well. I'm going to read a few comments. Greta Thunberg. This is in RT as well. She was in France on Tuesday. She's travelling the world, telling people that we're all dead if we don't listen to her. Either we choose to go on as a civilization or we don't. That's as black or white as it gets, says Greta Thunberg. Number of peer-reviewed studies, of course, have come out in the last couple of weeks, highlighted on this programme, that prove, again, prove, beyond any doubt, that anthropogenic climate change, man-made climate change is not happening. Man is not doing it. I know, there will be followers of people like Dane Wigington. I have a lot of time for Dane, very good guy, Dane, very smart guy. And I believe Dane is right. Weather anomalies are being driven by man in the sense that weather modification technology is being used around the globe. I have no doubt about that. That's a different thing entirely. But the planet warming to the point where the warming will become so catastrophic that we'll have flooding, coastal areas will disappear, is a nonsense. We're not creating our industrial activity on the planet is not contributing to that. There's no evidence to support that. There we go. And that's about it, I think. I'm going to leave you there. It's just after midday. It's a horrible old afternoon here in Manchester. Greater Manchester, Salford. It's rotten. Peter Murphy says YouTube seems insistent on promoting Russell Brand. Yeah. Like I said, they will tell you what the alternative media is and give it you. But there's nothing alternative about Russell Brand. There's nothing alternative about the Canary, as I said. There's nothing alternative about some of the really well-known, very right-wing, Trump-supporting channels. Some of whom I've had their hosts on my show arguing with them. Nothing alternative about it. It's the system, man. It's the system. It's incredible. It's incredible. Props up the system. Ranting about crooked Hillary. Ranting about QAnon, Pizzagate. Lovely, but it's the system. Because you conclude that ultimately the way out of it is to, well, to keep Donald in the White House. Nothing alternative about that. Icke had a phrase for it, David Icke. And he was right. He called it mainstream light. We have them here. We have them on the South Coast. You know who I'm talking about? The Hampstead hoaxers on the South Coast. They told their listeners to vote for Jeremy Corbyn before the last election. Mainstream light. Nothing to see here. Nothing of any interest for an intellectual who wants to understand what's going on in the world. Nothing. You think Jeremy Corbyn, brilliant. Well, your channel then is, you know, your point of view, mainstream light, you're no different than the system. You are the system. Mainstream light. So what YouTube is doing, it is continuing to promote mainstream light so that people will labour under the illusion that they are getting alternative media. I go to whatever for the news. Yeah. And you think it's better than the BBC. It's more likely to be accurate than the BBC. But you only like it because it tells you what you want to hear. that Hillary is evil, and Bill's a psychotic paedophile. You want to hear that, so they tell you that. It doesn't matter if it's true, because your conclusion is Donald Trump is the man. It's what we need to get away from, people. Got to understand it. Look at Jeremy Corbyn's performance on Sophie Ridge this morning. How could any body with half a brain say, yeah, he's the man. He's going to stand up to the system. What did you think of the Panorama documentary, Jeremy? Open goal. All you had to do was say, well, I'm glad you brought that up, Sophie. You work for Sky News. Would you be happy if your organisation was hiring former people from the Israeli embassy, former staffers, people who were caught on camera with Joan Ryan when she was getting a bribe of £1 million to bring down anti-Israeli politicians? One of those guys was in the room. And next thing I see him, he's on Panorama. What's going on, Sophie? It's a stitch up, Sophie. No. Corbyn just mumbled away. We'll take on anti-Semitism. Rubbish. Garbage. Depressing is what it is. Not him. Depressing that people keep falling for it. All these people with their Twitter accounts declaring themselves to be socialists. You're not socialists. You don't know anything about it. Don't understand it. Haven't a clue. You've never lived it. You've never seen it. You've never travelled. Never been anywhere in the world. You've never witnessed it going on. I travelled in Central America. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know. Real socialism. Incredible. I'm a socialist. And Jeremy for PM. He's not a socialist either. When will it come home to people? The path to salvation lies within themselves and in their towns, in their villages, in their streets, in their neighbourhoods. Take them back. Your own personal sovereignty. Not voting for these people. And believe in that a man who swears an oath of allegiance to Queen Elizabeth and all her heirs before he can even take his seat in the House of Commons. He's not out to bat for you, love, you know. You know. That's it for me. Time to go. Back with you for the newspaper review tomorrow at 9:30 and packed week of Richie Allen shows. 5 o'clock, of course, to 7 every day next week. Monday to Thursday, I should say. Brilliant guest line up for you next week. Not got the diary here, but terrific array of guests. First-time guests, new guests. Should be really good. So have a great Sunday. To those of you who listened in through the usual channels, thanks for listening in. I'm not sure if Graham Booth is going to do something on triggerwarning.tv now, but he might be. Check him out, Graham Booth. Terrific guy. And he'll have an interesting programme if he's doing that. I will speak to you tomorrow then. Usual time, 9:30 in the morning with the paper review. Until then, bye from me.